today on You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein. It's a film club edition, and we are talking about the cult classic, The Big Lebowski. Hello, everybody, and welcome to You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein. I am your host, Silas Lindenstein. Today is one of those film club editions where I polled many people, many friends out there, friends and fans, and asked them, what are some of your favorite movies? And each person would give me three. I picked one of them. We watched or rewatched, and we had a film club edition, just like a book club you might do, but it's about films, and you could do this along with us. So if you have not seen The Big Lebowski yet, you could go watch it, or if you kind of remember it, you can go rewatch it and then listen to this and share along with it. My guest was New York-based comedian Andrew Steiner. This is one of his favorite films. I have a huge confession. Something I've been embarrassed about a long time, and I do mention it in the podcast, but I will say it up front as a confessional to all of you. I had never seen The Big Lebowski until I did this podcast. I'm sorry. I wanted to, but then... I was really in the theater at the time, very snobby in there. Some people had seen The Big Lebowski and wouldn't stop talking about it. And I mean, yeah, so I think I got a little contrarian about it, being like, okay, I get it. And so I just never got around to watching it. And then, you know, things now in this age, there's memes out about it and all these things. I never understood the jokes. I never got them. I laughed along. I never pretended I saw it. I just never would go along with the jokes. I just let them happen, be there. So that's it. I never did it, but I do now. Now I get the joke, and I get them all. Send me all the memes. Your favorite Big Lebowski memes. I get it. So Andrew Steiner got, and this is a reason that I wanted to do this show. This segment of You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein was to look back, catch up with some movies that I missed for whatever reasons. I missed a lot of movies during the birth years of my children, by the way. No sleep, no time for movies. I think this is the first episode I actually recorded of Film Club Editions, but this isn't the first one I've aired, I know. So forgive me. I was feeling my way around what this was going to evolve into. And I think I forgot to introduce the film in the beginning. So I'm going to do that now. I think I may have put it in somewhere and was going to change it around, but let me just make sure I got my bases covered here. Okay. The Big Lebowski, it's a 1998 film. It's a crime comedy. Written, produced, and directed by Joel and Ethan Coen, the Coen brothers. It stars Jeff Bridges as the dude, Jeffrey Lebowski, a Los Angeles slacker and avid bowler. He is assaulted as a result of mistaken identity, then learns the millionaire, also named Jeffrey Lebowski, was the intended victim. It also stars the dude's friend, John Goodman. Other people who appear: Sam Elliott, Julianne Moore, Steve Buscemi, John Turturro, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Tara Reid, David Thewlis. Full of people. Great supporting roles. Classic movie. We talk about that film here on Film Club this week. So that's it. That's my intro. Big thanks to you. If you are subscribing, please subscribe to the podcast and to the video podcast on YouTube. You can go to yourwatchingamovie.com, and this will appear as both a video and podcast form. So you can subscribe to them both, so you can stay up to date and learn what we're going to do each week as it comes. I'm trying to figure out when I should be announcing it. So I'm working on that. So this week, though, is Big Lebowski. So thank you there. Also, if you want to help support the show, you can listen to my other podcast. Let's say you're out there and you're thinking about buying a home. I have a podcast for you. It's called You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. It's available on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Go listen to that one as well. So if you want to buy a home, you listen to that one. You want to watch a movie, you listen to this one. And for my latest reviews on films, you can go to yourwatchingmovie.com and see my written reviews. And as I can, I'm getting video reviews up as well. Depends on timing required for them. And, you know, I just got back from vacation. I have a lot going on, a lot to catch up on. So doing my best, folks. Anyway, big thanks to Andrew Steiner for coming on the show. He plugs his video cast on the show. I want you to check that out and support him. Great. Very funny New York-based comic. If you're out there, you got to catch him and follow him. Follow him on Facebook or Twitter, whatever. And when he comes to the area near you, you can check him out. Okay. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for the support of the show and my reviews. And here we go. You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein, Film Club Edition, The Big Lebowski.
You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech that is timeless. Love it like it or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it isn't tough. We spend a lot of time at the cinema. It's just me and my friends, we watch plenty stuff. For movies, yeah, I've been above. Whether big or they small, no, for me don't make a difference. Love them. You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech, it is timeless. Love it like it or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it didn't hit. No, gotta lose it. Watch movies with my friends, bringing joy, that's the blueprint. So come on and let's do this. Leave pain behind us and relax your mind. Come watch a movie with Silas.
And welcome to You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein. This is a really fun series that I'm starting here, where I find interesting people all around the country, bring them on the show to discuss a film that meant a lot to them for one way or the other. I have them give me three films. I pick one that I want to watch with them, and that is the movie that they are watching with Silas Lindenstein. I'm your host, Silas Lindenstein. With me today, the very funny man, comedian, and YouTube. I'm going to call you a YouTuber because it's on YouTube. The very funny man, Andrew Steiner. Welcome.
Thank you, Silas. Great to be here.
Yeah. Thank you. All the way from New York. So this podcast is officially transcontinental. You gave me a few choices of films. And I chose this one here, The Big Lebowski.
Mm-hmm.
Big Lebowski, 1998 comedy. They call it a crime comedy, I guess.
What's the name? Noir. Whatever.
Noir, crime noir comedy. Yeah. It's, you know, I remember this being when it came. Weirdly, I've never seen the film before. I had never seen it before this. And it's been, I have no good excuse. I knew it was a comedy. I felt like everybody started talking about it. And for some reason at the time, because everyone started talking about it, I was like, okay, well, I'll go see it sometime. And then I just didn't. And it became part of like legend. And I love, what's his name? The lead on here. Jeff Bridges, but
John Goodman.
I felt so like John Goodman. Yeah. Okay. Tons of people. The big one. For me, it was John Goodman because I was a big fan of his from, I think, Roseanne and King Ralph, right? King Ralph. That was great.
I hope I saw King Ralph.
You can miss King Ralph. But I remember this seeming like a turning point for him as far as getting respect from people. What was it? You told me something about you didn't like it the first time you saw it.
I think the first two times I didn't really like it that much. I mean, I must have liked it enough to be willing to watch it again. But I find that media, whether it's music or movies or whatever, that I find, I won't say bland, but just like I can't comprehend the first time or two. Like, there's something about it that draws me back, but there's also, it seems boring or just like, I don't get it. Those are the things I wind up loving the most. And this was one of those things.
Okay. So did you, you didn't see it in the theaters then?
No.
This was a much later.
So I was born in 86. So I would have been what, 12 when they came out. Yeah. So now, yeah, I don't think I was like that hip to like the Coen brothers when I was 12.
I was much older. The Coen, you know, it's funny because you had mentioned Raising Arizona and I was like, yeah, I remember that from a long time ago. Nick Cage is my big draw for that. But I was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I never would. I wouldn't tell people that I was a Coen brothers fan, like just automatically. But I can't think of a film I dislike by them at all. And so I was open. I was like, you know what? I need to see this film. I went and watched it. And I really liked it a lot. I actually liked it more than I expected to. I was somewhere between thinking, you know what? I feel like this film's probably overhyped and I'm not going to like it as much as I'm supposed to. And then for some reason, I think there was an inverse effect of feeling like I'm going to be disappointed that I ended up really enjoying it more than I would have maybe another time. I don't know. But I was laughing throughout. Did you get a chance to watch it again before coming on?
I mean, I watched it a few months ago and I've seen
it. Okay. Okay. That's close enough.
Almost 10 times probably at this point.
Yeah. I am surprised how well it holds up. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of films from 1998 and that era that do not hold the test of time.
Yeah.
And the comedy and such. But here we are 25 years later. And I think it really holds up well, the comedy. Yeah.
And it's also not cringy. It's not like, doesn't come off as racist or misogynistic. Like, you know, it's stuff from even like 2009 comes off that way sometimes.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some problematic stuff.
Yeah.
If I was to ask you your three favorite things about the film, what would you highlight on it?
I mean, the relationship between Donnie and the dude and Walter, you know, Jeff, the main three guys, the bowling team, like that whole world. I love their dynamic, you know, where Donnie is belittled but they love him. And Walter is just takes himself so seriously but is so funny, like such a silly, like he takes care of his wife's dog, you know, he still practices Judaism but he's meanwhile this super blustery, like, you know, aggressive guy.
Yeah,
it's just such an ironic character. And then, you know, the dude, Mr. Lebowski, El Dunarino.
Yeah.
If you're not into the whole brevity thing.
I love that. I think this could be my favorite role of Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
I really I like him generally as an actor, but I was like, oh, he really hit a stride in this. He was so relaxed. He was so confident as the dude, which I guess probably, like, you can't tell everyone to call you the dude and not have a real air of confidence about that, right?
But he's confident without being arrogant. Like, he doesn't take himself too seriously. And he doesn't, like, it's not unbelievable the level of chillness he has. Like, because he does get angry and, like, annoyed at times. I like that he's human.
Yeah.
But he is definitely more chill than most people.
He is sensitive too. Mm-hmm. Like, he's very concerned about the trophy wife there, being killed. Mm-hmm. Like, and he's feeling so bad about it. He's a good guy. Like, he's a good guy, but they're all good guys.
Mm-hmm.
Right. At their heart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even What's his character? Walter? Walter, yeah. John Goodman, check. Right?
Yeah, Walter Sobchak, I think.
Yeah, Sobchak, yeah. He wants, even though he wants to steal that money,
mm-hmm.
you know, like he said, the dog thing, he's still like a kind of a good guy at the heart of it.
Yeah, he's rationalizing it. He's like, no one's getting hurt, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. What about the film you said that made it? Is it just a favorite, or did it affect you in any way?
Or it affected me. I mean, like it affected me artistically, I guess, just the way the dialogue is written. It's so funny. It comes off realistic, but also it's ornate and like packed with detail. Like it's almost Wes Anderson-esque in that it's just like very ornate, and there's worlds within worlds in the movie, but it feels more grounded and less fantastical and less what is the word, contrived.
So would you say your comedy is that like how you like to present comedy as well? Or
I mean, it's when it's narrative, I guess I try to. I don't know if I succeed or reach those heights, but or when I write a script or whatever. Yeah, I'm definitely influenced by it for sure.
Okay. Are there any flaws to the film? Do you see that there's any flaws?
I mean, I'm sure there are. I don't know if I'm the best one to let me think. Okay.
Hey, I'm Star Wars is a very close to my heart film, yet I can dig in there and find a few things that are, yeah, that's not so good. I would feel like this was a Coen brother thing personally, but the ending, and we can spoil here because people should have watched the movie with us. How they end it of just, well, Sam Elliott saying, well, you know, I think what he got, later on something happened that was positive. Like they didn't really, I felt like I didn't quite get like they didn't button it up. It wasn't all buttoned up at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Cause they still had at the end, they never actually did have a match. Did they? Or we didn't see the bowling match.
Yeah, we didn't see the bowling match, I don't think.
Yeah, that was the part that I was like, wait, we're not going to...
Well, Donnie died. Donnie died. How could they finish the tournament?
Oh, well, that's... Okay, that's true. I wanted him against the other guy. Yeah, well, I felt like there was a setup. The only actual, like... I mean, felt like they were set up as a protagonist, the bowling, that other bowling team, the Machismo bowling team. And to not get to see them actually collide... Like I felt a little, I was like, oh, that stinks. I mean, it's kind of lifelike.
That's what I like about it. I feel like the whole movie, it sets that up, because when Sam Elliott is there in the beginning and he's like, well, he's just a guy he's the right guy for a time. He didn't do anything in particular, but he's just like fits. He's the zeitgeist. He's the spirit of the place and the time.
Yeah.
There doesn't necessarily have to be anything that comes of that, much like historical events, you know, like sure, JFK got assassinated and that sent ripples throughout society. But like, what was ultimately the conclusion of that? Nothing really.
Oh, I forgot about this. What really gets me about the film is all the quotable lines that people use.
Yeah.
Were such throwaway lines of the film.
Yeah.
They weren't meaning like the, well, yeah, that's just your opinion or whatever, man. Yeah. I was like, well, that came on. I was like, really? That's where that quote's from? I thought it was going to be a big moment in the thing. And it seemed like a lot of those, the quotable moments that I've heard are just from incidental watchings of it.
Yeah.
Or incidental scenes in it.
I'm trying to put my finger on why that is, but it just like, I like how the movie comes across as so surreal and psychedelic, but also so grounded at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think that's And then also it's a noir film that on top of it, I was going to say something before that. Yeah, I don't know. It's just the characters are speaking from themselves. You know, it's more like how much of the dude was being when he was saying that. He was being himself so much when he said that. It wasn't so much the words or the situation. It was like, that's just a very dude thing to say.
just a dude thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's great. So it was a Sundance Film Festival premiere, premiered in 98. It grossed so $5.5 million opening weekend, $18 million in the US, just above a $15 million budget. Just above the $15 million budget. Worldwide, $46.7 million. Which is interesting. Like I would almost think that this was like a $200 million film, the way people talk about it. Like it didn't do audiences gave it a grade of a B at the time on Rotten Tomatoes. Critics. I don't see a critic score on it, but it was. So I'm like, is this a film that you think is more in the. I'm like, is this like an arts community movie? Like, is it not the overall?
It's got a Monty Python vibe. It's like the people who like Monty Python would like this, maybe. And I think the reason it took me so many times to get into it is because I have like ADD. So I was too busy trying to follow the plot to really enjoy the dialogue. And I can imagine I'm not the only one that happened to.
I mean, that's probably a common Coen Brothers issue, right? Is you have to really. Yeah, it's a film about. You know, films are usually about one thing, one or two things that they emphasize on. The plots, it's a middling thing here. Like, it's really about, I feel like it's a lot about the characters and language.
But it jumps all over the place in terms of plot, like, in terms of, okay, if you're in the art studio, you're at the mansion, you're in Malibu, you're in the dude's house, and then there's also you're at the bowling alley, but there's all sorts of weird like side quests where he goes to his landlord's play, you know, like he goes to the doctor's office. He's in the cab and he doesn't like the Eagles and he gets kicked out. Like there's all sorts of major interstitial spaces that make the movie, at least for me, hard to follow.
I can see that it does distract it. Traditional screenwriting and playwriting would tell you to cut those scenes. That doesn't have to do with what you're doing. Just get to the point. Nothing happened in there. Yeah. You don't need to do that. I think that is, that is probably part of the, I could see why that could be distracting as you're trying to follow it.
But it's also the charm. It also gives a feeling of like, playing a massive multiplayer online RPG where there's all these worlds, you know?
I mean, it does make me wonder how much Grand Theft Auto is inspired by this. Just the rant. That was so fun. And when he got kicked out of for being an Eagle, he asked him to turn the Eagles off because he hates the Eagle. I did go like, wait, did I miss something earlier? Was that? There's nothing else, right?
No, that's
just out of the blue. He hates the Eagles.
But it makes sense kind of for his character. Like, I don't know the Eagles that well, but it just seems like they're like a commercial.
Oh yeah.
And he seems the opposite of a commercial guy.
They become commercial at very least.
Yeah.
And I also love that it was a black man playing the Eagles, which is not normal. Was that what you would expect either? And then to get mad about it that he didn't like it was just so like, oh, I wish that wasn't like the only black person in the film, but that's neither here nor there. It was a time before diversity was being sought after.
Yeah.
There's so, even the villain, I mean, the villain of it is really probably the guy who hired him, right?
Well, that guy, kind of, yeah. But also, you know, the nihilist henchman.
Well, yeah, also, the
Malibu porn director guy.
Yeah.
In a weird sense, the sheriff in Malibu is kind of a villain.
Yeah. Okay.
The Jesus a little bit. I don't know. Like, he's a child molester.
There's a lot to the film. I get, yeah, it is pretty loaded with plot points and devices. I was trying to think of why I would tell someone to watch the film. And besides, I couldn't get over just like, well, it's really funny and just, but that it's gonna, I do feel like I would have to know someone's humor to know whether they're gonna like it or not.
That's true.
And like, I could see, like, if someone told me they didn't like it, I'd be like, yeah, okay. I mean, that's your opinion or whatever, man.
That's like your opinion.
like, I'm not sure I would hold it against them, because some things I'll watch and be like, if you don't understand this, I don't like, why are we friends? But like, I would get someone not getting the humor on it or taking a couple times. Like, I'm impressed people have got this without seeing it in the theater, to be honest. I could see this being easily distracted watching this.
Oh yeah. Film. Well, that's again why I had to watch it 3 times. But I mean, I'm a fan of comedy movies. Like, that's my favorite type of movie in general, whether it's sci-fi comedy or whatever, or just like straight bro comedy or silent films or whatever. And I think the reason why this is my favorite movie probably of all time is because it makes comedy artistic. You know, it's nuanced without being precious, and it's just funny, but it's also great filmmaking.
Do you think there's a lesson from the film? Do you think there's a lesson that the Coen brothers were doing? Is it just for laughs, or do you think that they were trying to say anything off of this?
I think if I had to summarize the moral kernel, mm-hmm. is like, if you're really truly at peace with who you are, you're still not going to win all the time, but at least some of the time you're going to win, and some weird opportunities will come to you and you'll have an interesting life.
I like that. Maybe that's why I like this film. It is to a level, it is about authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
The dude is just authentic to his core. And I love that.
Yeah.
I could see why stand-ups then would actually be drawn to this movie, because, I mean, ultimately stand-up is good stand-up. People are authentic, right? In it.
Yeah, that was the vibe of those, the trio bowling team is like a bunch of stand-ups hanging out at an open mic.
Yeah.
Like, not making a good living, but they're funny, they have each other, and they have a thing they love doing.
Yeah. And then they got the other folks over there who are their competitors.
Yeah.
Like, oh, take them down. I just couldn't get over the guy like him destroying his friend every single time. Shut the fuck up. Don't you dare. Not letting him get involved.
You're like a child who's wandered into a movie.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah. So, I mean, this is for me. This is definitely, I always rate every film a love it, like it, or lose it. It's my rating system. I will definitely put this on a love it. because I do kind of want to watch it again, like already. And I'm like, oh, I got to watch a sad movie now for the next person. So, but I'm like, oh, I got to introduce this to my daughter. I think it's rated R.
I think so.
Probably.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
it's full of music, by the way. It's full of music. I was looking in the, yeah. Like this would have been one of those soundtracks that I would love to own back when you needed to, like, when you needed a CD to get a good collection of music together.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's like at times it feels like a music video. Like the music is so well matched to the emotion and the visuals. I mean, there's even one part obviously where they're in the bowling alley after he's been knocked out, and there's like the Valkyries, and like that is a music video, that one part.
You know what? I didn't know. Do you know the Coen brother? Okay, they said they'd never make a sequel. Did you know that Turturro made a movie?
Yes. Yeah.
In 2020? What?
I haven't seen it yet. I didn't know about this. I heard it's bad. I think that Jesus is one of the funniest characters in any movie ever. And I love John Turturro. We went to the same college. Not at the same time, obviously, but yeah. New Pulse. But, I will see it eventually, but I hear it's bad. And I wish the
Jesus
it was good.
Rolls. Yeah. Okay. Maybe I won't see it. Just to not spoil myself on that.
I do wish there was a Donnie prequel of him surfing and stuff.
wait. Okay. So there was, though, the dude reprised the role. Oh, for the Stella Artois commercial. That was it. Okay. I saw that there was a Stella. That's right. See, this is why I'm happy now that I see it. I feel like I'm now in on a bunch of jokes that I missed out on over the last 25 years.
Yeah.
Like I would lay like, oh, that's a dude. That's a reference from the Big Lebowski. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the Rocky Picture Horror or whatever.
Yeah. Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah.
Yeah, I was never in. I tried to watch that a couple times. For some reason, it didn't get me.
You have to watch with the crowd. It's not really, it's not a solo film, right? It's yeah, a,
but they
it's
do that experience. With this too. They do that with the
do
big
they
box.
Do?
Like, yeah.
Crowd watching? Oh.
And they have like festivals where people meet up. They dress as the characters. They, you know, they hang out.
That's crazy. Okay.
I haven't done it. I've been like almost tempted, but I'm just like, I hate groupthink in general.
You don't want to go to a Comic-Con for the Big Lebowski, basically.
I want to delude myself that I'm unique in my love for.
I guess that is something when you realize, oh, a lot of people love this. I guess
in the exact same way I do, you know.
Well, hey, Andrew, thank you for introducing me to this film. I mean, motivated me to see it at very least. You have a YouTube channel that we can check out, right? You have a show there.
Yeah. I have a show, Creating with Strangers, where we go out in the street and we do weird creative stuff, with other comedians and also with strangers. And, yeah, just search Andrew Steiner on YouTube, and I have other stuff there too. Stand up and this thing that I just put out, the first one of Steiner's stories, which is kind of a weird, like, mix of travelogue and storytelling.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's on YouTube as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Check him out, Andrew Steiner. Thank you everybody for tuning in for this, for Andrew for coming in and checking out the Big Lebowski. Thank you everybody for listening, and thank you for watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein.
You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech that is timeless. Love it like it or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it isn't tough. We spend a lot of time at the cinema. It's just me and my friends, we watch plenty stuff. For movies, yeah, I've been above. Whether big or they small, no, for me don't make a difference. Love you're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech, it is timeless. Love it like it or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on
on being reminded. But the film, if it didn't hit, no, gotta lose it. Watch movies with my friends, bringing joy, that's the blueprint. So come on and let's do this. Leave pain behind us and relax your mind. Come watch a movie with silence.